Okay, we are going to start, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد. فنسأل الله تبارك وتعالى بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من المستمعين للقول والمتبعين أحسنه إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه ثم أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. With the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to start with a journey through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it might seem very strange that we are starting with this topic, as every Muslim is supposed to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we look at Sahih Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a day will come when no one on the earth will say Allah, Allah. There will come a day when people on the face of the earth will no longer say Allah. So now we might think like, okay, alhamdulillah, this hasn't happened yet, because look at all the Muslims, they still say Allah. What we should know is that shaitan goes gradually. He doesn't take very big steps. He goes, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And he do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Yani he drags you into haram. He drags you into ignorance, step by step, without you noticing it. It's like looking at the shadow. It moves, but you don't see it. That's the way shaitan goes with us. He drags us slowly. We think we are not changing. We think we are not far from Allah. We think we are far from haram, but without knowing it, we are approaching it. So now this is the same thing with Allah. We won't immediately have no one on the face of the earth saying Allah, Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam even went further and said, and people will say, Allah, I have heard this before. My grandparents used to say it. Subhanallah. So now, if we look at this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the one hand, and on the other hand, we know that shaitan goes gradually, then we see, if we look at the discussions amongst Muslims, we see that the majority of Muslims no longer use the majority of the divine names. Not in their discussions and not in their dua. So it seems as if a lot of these names have been erased from the Muslim dictionary. Like, I became a Muslim 24 years ago. I don't remember when I sat with someone talking about Al-Jabbar or Al-Latif or so many Al-Hayyi, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hayy, Al-Quddus, Al-Qayyum, so Al-Azim, and let alone people invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these names. And it's a haqq, it's Allah's right upon us that we invoke Him by all of His names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belong the most beautiful names. And this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَدْعُوا. It's فِعْلُ أَمْر. Now Allah is commanding us. Now فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. So invoke Allah by these names. So it is very important for the Muslim to understand that every name of the divine names should have an effect on the way we think, an effect on the way we behave, and an effect on the way we look at life. You see, all of these names are keys to certain rooms, figuratively speaking, that we need to open the door to understand our journey on the face of the earth. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. So now, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the other hand, like in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has 99 names. Mi'a illa wahida. Yani 100 minus 1. Man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. The one that does ihsa of these names will enter paradise. But what does it mean, ahsaha? I remember when I was a small boy, I was 12 years old. I visited some Moroccan friends. I wasn't a Muslim yet. And they had this poster on the wall. And it had these 99, you know, squares with beautiful names in it. I said, what is this? They said, these are the names of God. I said, is there more than one God? He said, no. These names, they explain you who God is. And I said, oh, that's beautiful. And they said, if you memorize these names, you go to paradise. I said, this is easy. So I went home and I started memorizing these names when I was a non-Muslim. I said, if God would exist, because I was an atheist, I said, if God would exist, I will go to paradise because I will memorize these names. But Allah didn't allow me to memorize all these names. I memorized 87 names and then I became Muslim. So I subhanAllah, Allah didn't allow me to complete the hib, the memorization of the 99 until I became a Muslim. So anyway, I memorized 87 names before I became a Muslim. So now to come back, ahsaha in this hadith of a Tirmidhi doesn't mean memorization. When we are going to look at one of the first people that wrote a commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, he was a Maliki scholar, his name was Ibn Battal. He said, من أحصاها أي من فهمها وحفظها وعمل بمقتضاها ودع الله بها. Four things. He said, من أحصاها will enter paradise, the one that memorizes the names, understands the names, lives up to these names, and asks and supplicates Allah by these names. So they say these are the four dimensions that you need if you want these names to take you to paradise. So for me, it was very strange to see when I embraced Islam and people told me, you have to get to know Allah. I said, good. But then when I grew older and years passed, I saw that the majority of Muslims didn't memorize the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if I were to ask at university, who memorizes the names of Allah? They memorize everything, engineers, doctors, whatever. But if I ask them, do you memorize the names, the 99 names of your Lord? The majority will say no. This is not the only thing. Another principle, I'm sharing principles with you. So on the one hand, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there will come a day that people don't no longer say Allah, Allah. We said that it will go gradually because this is the way that shaitan goes about. So he's slowly but surely erasing these names from what? From our conversations, from our dua, and even from our teachings. If it weren't for the Qur'an, then a lot of the names that we find in the Qur'an, we wouldn't even pronounce them anymore. SubhanAllah. If it weren't for reading the Qur'an, Shakir and Alima, when would we, you know, mention the name Ashakur, for example? Or Wahhab, or Al-Quddus, or Al-Bari, or Al-Musawwir. We wouldn't maybe even use it. This is how far we are away from his names. So now, he will go gradually. Then we said there are four dimensions to Ahsaha. If you want paradise through these names, memorization, understanding, application, and supplication. Memorization, understanding, application, and supplication, exactly. So that was the last thing we said. And then we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these 99 names. But does Allah have more than 99 names? Well, in the authentic hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something very, very beautiful. He said, if you say the following dua, Allah will remove all your worries and all your sorrows. You know what often the problem is with us? We see that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something and usually it's the last thing we try. Like the Messenger gave us the key sallallahu alaihi wasallam to rizq, for example. Al-istighfar. It's the last thing we're going to do. When all doors are locked, all doors of creation say, I'm going to try this hadith. Won't work. Because you didn't give it its due value. These things are so strong that if you were to believe in them the way you should believe in it, and direct yourself on the first moment to these supplications, they would work. So they do work, we don't work. They do work, they're stronger than a paracetamol. But when I ask my wife for a paracetamol because I have a headache, the moment she brings the paracetamol, I already feel my headache going away. When she puts it, you know, in a glass or in my mouth, and if it doesn't work after 2 minutes, I say, it's not working. Why is it not working? I have yaqeen. I have yaqeen that it will work. But when it comes down to my Lord who promised me, I doubt. If our yaqeen in dua and azkar would be with the same strength and conviction as we have with the paracetamol, miracles would happen. Miracles would happen. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصادق المصدوق, يعني who speaks more the truth than Allah, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was affirmed to be truthful by the truthful subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you say the following supplication, when you are sad, Allah will remove your sadness, will remove your sorrows. Allahumma inni abduka, ibn abdika, ibn amatika, nasiyati biyadik, madin fiya hukmuk, adlun fiya qada'uk, as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, sammayta bihi nafsaka, aw anzaltahu fi kitabika, aw allamtahu ahadan min khalqika, aw istathartha bihi fi ilmi al-ghaybi indaka. And I will translate it, not the first part. And then the Messenger of Allah said, oh Allah, I ask you by every name, سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ, that you gave yourself. أَوْ أَنْزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ, or that you have revealed in your book. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكَ, or that you have taught one of your creation. And they say these are the prophets, for example. And there's a difference about it. I'm not going to mention it. It's in Bab al-Aqidah. And then, أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِندَكَ, or these names that you have kept for yourself in the unseen, in the world of the unseen. We have the names that we need, but Allah has more names. Is that clear? By all the names that you kept for yourself, the names we need to develop ourselves as Muslims, to become better people on the outward, yani in our akhlaq, our behavior, and on the inside, and in the way we think, are all in these names that the Prophet ﷺ gave us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So the journey through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a journey which I call a journey, yani a safaru fi asma'illahi ta'alluqan wa takhalluqan wa tahaqquqan. Try to memorize it if you can. A ta'alluq meaning spiritual attachment to the name. That's a ta'alluq. A takhalluq is behaving in the light of this name. Sometimes this can be by doing exactly what the name means. Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. The ones who have mercy, the merciful will grant them mercy. So some of these names we are going to apply the way that they are, you know, understood. Some names we are not allowed to put into practice in the way that it's understood, but by doing what the name wants from us, like al-mutakabbir. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not going to say, okay, now I will have kibr. I will say, now I will have a humility. Is that clear? So Allah is al-wahid, so I'm not going to be egocentric, egoistic, narcissistic. No, I'm going to be what? Dependent. So some of these names thus have a message that we have to put into practice, and other ones we have to live in the light but are not allowed to put the name literally into practice, like Al-Mutakabbir, for example, or Al-Ahad, this Yastalzimu min al-Ubudiyya. If these principles are clear, so the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'alluqan, spiritual attachment, takhalluqan is outward behavior, and tahakkuqan, this is the highest level. At-tahakkuq, what does it mean? It means that now you are so aware of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you no longer need to go through your mind to convince your soul. You no longer need to go through your mind to convince your soul. Sometimes we are doing the accountancy of the divine decisions. For example, somebody wronged me. 2 years later, he's in prison. What am I going to say?
Look what Allah did. He wronged me, he shouldn't have wronged me. Look, look what happened to him. Like if we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, why he is doing it, what the result of it will be. So we are at a certain point in time, we are pretending that we know why Allah is doing things. The result of things only become clear at the end of the road. It's actually when we are on our deathbed that we know why we lived what we lived. Because it brought us to that instance and made us, the life journey made us the person that we are then at that particular instance. So now to make it clear, they say at-tahaqquq is that you do not want anything else than that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. I mean that you turn out wanting something else than what Allah made happen in your life. We're not going to talk about this now. Ta'alluq and takhalluq, meaning spiritual attachment and acting in the light of the name. And this is what we are going to do in this journey. We're going to look at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we want to connect to them. We want to behave in the light of these names. And the example I gave in the bayan was, and I'm going to give it again, is the bayan or is the name Razzaq subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give you one example of ta'alluq and takhalluq. We all believe Allah is Razzaq. We believe it. We don't doubt it. But there's a difference between believing and feeling. And between feeling and living. It's like between the East and the West. So now we are the 31st or the 30th, I think. Yes. So maybe some days ago, people that have an employer, they start counting the risk, which is not wrong, because we need to organize ourselves in life. So, okay, how much will I have and how much will I earn? This person will give me some money, I have to pay this. So we do the accountancy of the next month. But that's not the problem. Allah wants us to be organized with our minds, but wants us to be connected with our hearts and souls. So by Allah, the one that says, I know that Allah is Razzaq, did you ever ask Allah for risk that comes through your employer? Through your employer. I'm not saying you're in a problem, Ya Rabbi, help me. No. At the end of each month, you go down on your knees, you say, Razzaq, Ya Razzaq, Irzuqni. Oh Allah, I think I spoke too loud. No, it's not that. It's this here. Yeah. It's a battery. Okay. Can I continue? Okay. So the question now is, maybe it's better to wait. Maulana, what do you think? I continue? Okay. So when you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I'm going to wait. Thank you so much. Thank you for your effort. Talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consumes a lot of battery, yeah? Allah. Okay, Bismillah, it's good. So now the question I am asking is, what you have through your employer, do we get down on our knees at the end of the month and say, Ya Rabbi, rzuqni? We are so convinced that risk comes through my employer, comes through whatever, welfare, whatever, that we even don't ask for our risk. And when it comes too late, yes, from a human point of view, organizational point of view, I will call my employer. Excuse me, usually it's on the 21st, on the 31st or whatever, and it's too late. This is with my mind. But with my heart, I'm somewhere else. With my heart, I ask Allah. So this connection, when you believe in a Razzaq, then why didn't we make this connection? The only thing we see, we get mad, angry. Why is it too late? It's impossible. We forget that it's not the system that is providing us. It's the Lord of the system. It's like, subhanAllah, there's an iron sky that is built above our heads and we don't seem to see it. This is dangerous. Because this is actually what weakness of faith means. And Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah azza wa jalla, he said in his diwan, توكلت في رزقي على الله خالقي وأيقنت أن الله لا شك رازقي. Yani, concerning the rizq, I put my trust in Allah. And I don't doubt a single moment that Allah will provide for me. وَمَا يَكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقِي فَلَيْسَ يَفُوتُنِي وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي قَاعِ الْبِحَارِ الْعَوَامِقِ. And what has been destined for me to be my risk, it will not escape me, even if it was in the deep shallows of the oceans. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي قَاعِ الْبِحَارِ الْعَوَامِقِ سَيَأْتِ بِهِ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ بِفَضْلِهِ وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنِّي اللِّسَانُ بِنَاطِقِي. Look at this iman. You know, sometimes when we look at this, we say, oh, it's beautiful. No, these were the expressions of their inner feelings. They were sharing it with us. He said, and what is destined to be my risk? Allah will come with it even if I were not to ask for it. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنِّي اللِّسَانُ بِنَاطِقِي فَفِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ تَذْهَبُ النَّفْسُ حَسْرَةً وَقَدْ قَسَّمَ الرَّحْمَنُ رِزْقَ الْخَلَائِقِ. So why are you tying your nafs while you know very well that Allah has divided the provision and the risk of His creation? So yes, we have two dimensions. Dimension of organization, the rational dimension, but then we also have the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the problem is that the majority of Muslims is now just living with this. That's dangerous. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing us, isn't He? So we need, that was just one example of a ta'alluq, meaning that you connect to the divine name. And then you have the takhalluq. The takhalluq, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان ينفق كالذي لا يخشى عليه من الفقر. He used to spend like someone for whom one doesn't need to fear to become poor. How do you say it? Poor. Like if the king of Saudi Arabia would give me or you £10,000, would you say, poor person, he will be poor very soon? You don't fear for him. 10,000 is nothing. This is the way the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend, but he didn't have anything. Sometimes he wouldn't have. Yani can, like Khadija radiallahu anha said, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back after he saw Jibreel, she said, you are the one that gets people what you don't have yourself. What does this mean? Yani the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you would come to him, you would ask him for milk, and he wouldn't have milk. Then he would buy you milk. And if he wouldn't have the money to buy you milk, he would borrow money to buy you milk, and he would pay it. This is who he was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a takhalluq. This is putting this name into practice. Our problem, we don't have a crisis of not knowing. We have a crisis of not knowing how to put what we know into practice. It's so beautiful to sit here like I'm sitting, talking about beautiful things. But how difficult is it to put it into practice? When nobody sees you visiting the sick, when nobody knows. Giving the last of the money you had in your pocket, you wanted to buy some new shoes, you buy them for somebody else, nobody knows. This is difficult. This is Islam. Talking about Islam is easy. I don't mean it's easy. You have to learn, you have to study. But on the other hand, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُ تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. Allah says about the munafiqeen, when they talk, you listen to them. And when you look at them, their appearance, you are marveled by their appearance. SubhanAllah. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said that this ayah is about the munafiqeen that used to talk before the khutbah. Like they would sit, I don't mean that talking before the khutbah is like nifaq, but they wanted to show off. They would wear their best clothes and talk about Allah. But they were munafiqun. So now to come back, ta'alluq and takhalluq. We don't have a crisis of not knowing alone, but our biggest crisis is not knowing how to put our knowledge into practice or being afraid to put our knowledge into practice. Okay? So in this journey, bi'ithnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to be transformed through these names. Wallahi, the more we know His names, the more we will see our weaknesses. The more we will see His beauty and His strength, the more we will be able to trust in Him. Sometimes we trust ourselves more than we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way to change and transform is by being honest with ourselves. Where am I? Who am I on the inside? Because they say, as Salaf kanu, يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. يعني and they used to do istighfar not only for what they did, but for what they felt when they did good. Like I can now sit here and say, everybody, here I go, £5, £50, I start giving it. Everybody will say, رَجُلٌ كَرِيمٌ. He's a very, very generous man. But on the end, on the inside, I feel it. Ah, that hurts. £5, 20. Ah, it's like breaking my heart. If I could have, I wouldn't. Allah will judge me يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. He will judge me on what I hide behind what I do. So now the journey forward is by really looking at who we are for Allah. And who are we for Allah? The one we know who is inside of this body. It's usually not the one that we show. It's the one that He knows of. And when we admit this, when we are humbled and crumbled, because we know how far we are, how weak we are, that's the moment when the journey begins. This is the moment when you dig deep, then the journey will start. Say, Rabbi, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. Not in front of the people. It's not a sunnah to dishonor yourself in front of people. But to pretend in front of Allah, He knows. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He knows the secret and that which is more hidden than the secret. So we are going through all of these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to look, how do they change my behavior? How do they change the way I connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, this is it for me. The practical side of فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Yani, flee towards Allah. Flee towards Allah. Yani, to the knowledge of Him and to bring into practice this knowledge and to live up to its standards. Okay? So these are the things, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you can expect, bi'idhnillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, every time when you ask a scholar, the scholars, when they write a book in Nahu, in grammar, or morphology, or fiqh, or aqidah, or hadith, everybody says, and this is the most noble knowledge. Maulana will know this when we read our books. Yani, say, yes, and fiqh is the most noble because it shows you this and that. A mufassir will say this as well. But at the end, it's all about Allah. This is the most noble knowledge. And this is why Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah azza wa jal, when he spoke about al-aqidah, he named it al-fiqh al-akbar, the greatest fiqh, the largest fiqh. And fiqh in the language means correct understanding, correct detailed understanding. So al-fiqh al-akbar is that we correctly, in a detailed way, understand the names of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you have any questions about what has been said until now, inshallah? Do you have anything you want to add or want to ask? Then we can do this, yes.
How do you start practicing, start off with, like, you can't memorize all 99 minutes to start off?
Of course you can't, no.
So where shall we start?
Here. we this will be a weekly or two weekly course, so you can already start here, inshallah. Step by step. Yes, this will all be mentioned in the courses. Like every week or every 2 weeks, I will give you like three names, explain you how to live up to them. You will have homework, meaning that you will live in the light of these names and that you are aware of these names throughout that week. So that will be one of the assessments and homework, inshallah, that will be given, inshallah. And the thing is, books are good. One can read books. There are beautiful books about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the book of Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah azza wa jal. You have the book of Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, of al-Baydawi, of al-Isnawi. I mean, you have even of Imam al-Qushayri. You have so many books about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end, a book is there to be taught. You see? Because very often when we read a book, we might have a wrong understanding of what we read. So when a book is explained, so I base myself on, I think, 25 different books about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I hope you know also of Sheikh Ibn Ajiba, Ahmed Zarruq, all the other books. So inshallah khair. So that we will do that, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing I didn't understand yet is how long these classes should like, how long should they be? Because last time you told me how, after 25 minutes that was finished.
Half an hour is good enough.
Half an hour is good enough? How long did we do now? Half an hour?
Half an hour.
Yes, we did, mashallah, uncle. 29 minutes and 19 seconds. Mashallah. Okay, so we have four. Okay, that's good. That's good, inshallah. I'm subjected to the instructions, so I don't have an opinion. Excuse me.
45 minutes, that will be okay. No?
Okay, and people who are, I won't say bored, but people who have something else to do, and they can leave. I don't mind at all. So inshallah, khair. So, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will then in the future, inshallah, we're going to do it 45 minutes. Bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that good, uncle? Okay. Inshallah. It's on Tuesdays. Yes. Yes. Inshallah. The timetable is on the website, so you can find it there, inshallah. Inshallah, it's on the website. You can see it, inshallah. Inshallah. Do we have any other questions about the subject? Yes.
Just one quick one. That, you know, we're living in a very sort of evidence-based society. Everything is evidence-based, everything is fact.
Yes.
How do we get away from that understanding of, you know, for example, we want to see something like, you know, sometimes, like, you know, we want to see something in front of us and we want to believe it. How do you move away from that and move more towards the spiritual side?
Well, I really believe that that which we see in front of us is a straightforward proof that there is a creator. I mean, if I would take a toothpick here, you know, toothpick, we say toothpick, right? And I would tell people this created itself, they wouldn't believe me, you know, it's just a toothpick. And I mean, so seeing something is the very proof that there is someone. I mean, they say this about everything, apart from creation and nature and so forth. So how do we get away from this? I think we are able to harmonize between faith and science. And when science outwardly contradicts faith, then it's either because we have wrong, conclusion. How do we say?
Knowledge.
Yes, or because science hasn't yet found out what it really is. So, but I believe that science and faith, they don't contradict one another. It's just in the way we explain it and look at it. So, Allahu a'lam. Don't think we need to run away from anything. I think we need to go straight forward. Is there another question?
No?
Okay, alhamdulillah, I very quick. So we agree then from next week onwards, it's 45 minutes, bi-idhnillah. I agree that you come from far, you said? Okay, okay. Really? SubhanAllah, I understand. 45 minutes, would that be sufficient? but you know, it's...
People who find it difficult can sign in online.
Yes. But actually, I wouldn't mind to even teach an hour and a half. You see, so if people don't want to stay until the end, they can go. So let us say an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. That's what I need to finish this course, and that's how long I usually teach it for. Okay, so khair. So those who want to leave already, they can. I will continue a little bit, so then they can use the break to leave, inshallah. Excuse me. Can I have a cup of water? Please. Okay, so I will leave. I will wait if you want to leave. Okay. Was the content clear for now? Was it clear for everybody? Okay. Okay, I'm just going to wait 2 minutes and then we continue. So inshallah, we're going to do one hour and 20 minutes, Q&A included, inshallah. Okay. I mean, from next week be the last part. For today, it will be a bit less. Alhamdulillah. Do you come from far as well? You? Oh, local. Okay. Really? MashaAllah, that's good. Shall we will have all night with Allah. So, yes. No, it's good. It's good. Okay. Uncle, are you all right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I'm just waiting for some water and then we carry on, inshallah. Allah.
Did you give literal translation, literally one word translation? I know you explained the haqq of ta'alluq and
ta'alluq, yes.
But just one word translation for it. I know it's hard to.
Ta'alluq would be connection, but we call it spiritual connection. Takhalluq means behaving, any behaving in the light of the name. And tahakkuk means realization. Bismillah. So if we have understood these principles, then it's very important to know, why is it important to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I'm going to give you one reason why there are many. And this is the reason that Ibn Ajiba rahimahullah azawajal mentioned in his book Iqad al-Himam, when he rahimahullah azawajal said, "Man dallaka 'ala al-'amali faqad at'abak, wa man dallaka 'ala ad-dunya faqad ghashak, wa man dallaka 'ala Allah faqad nasahak." Meaning, the one that advises you or points you in the direction of performing deeds, good deeds, has tired you. I will explain this. The one that, you know, guides you to the dunya has wronged you. And he has, how do you call that? I don't know, subhanAllah. Anyway, so let us say it like this. And the last thing he said, and the one that shows you to the way of Allah has truly and sincerely given you a good advice. So what does he mean? Like, if we are going to look at the dawah today, we see that very often the emphasis is on performing deeds, which is good. Like fast, read Qur'an, not fasting Ramadan, I'm talking about extra deeds, right? Fasting, reading Qur'an, visiting the sick, crying for Allah, doing this, doing that. So at the end, it's a lot. And very often it takes a lot from us to do all of these things. Ibn Ajiba says, no, there's another way. If we point you in the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never feel tired serving Him. You won't get bored, it won't feel too heavy, it won't be too much. Because when we look at the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as never getting bored and never being exhausted. So if we always remind people of actions, 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 then at the end, actions become a goal. But Allah is our goal. So if we now, and this is what Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah says in his book Minhaj al-Abidin ila Jannati Rabbil Alameen, if we show people the way towards Allah, then they will look for ways to please Him. You see, it's the other way around. So this is when we look at the period of Mecca, we see that the very first verses were all about Allah, all about Qiyamah, all about Akhirah, Jannah, Nar. And not the emphasis was not as much as on performing deeds, only at the end of the Meccan period when the Prophet ﷺ was ascended with. So now you see that at the very beginning, Allah was the focus. And when these people were inspired through their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah jalla wa ala poured the actions, the commands upon them, and they accepted it because they were ready for it. Is that clear? So very often when you go to someone and say, no, this is haram, stop doing this, stop doing that. But does he even know Allah? If he would know Allah, he wouldn't do it. Now, if you know Allah, you don't disobey Allah. And in harmony with your knowledge of Allah, you will serve Him more and you will fear Him more. This is how it works. So this is why Ibn Ajiba says, وَمَنْ دَلَّكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ نَصَحَكَ. The one that shows you to the way to Allah, he has given you the true, good, only, sincere advice. This is the advice. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah azza wa jal, he looks at it and he says, every haram that you do is out of love, and is due to a lack of love. An excessive love for pleasing your ego, and the lack of love for pleasing Allah. Khalas. So every haram is due to an excess of love and a lack of love. The excess of love for pleasing your ego, and the lack of love for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the ma'asiyah, even the sin, is driven by love, but a wrong love. Okay? So this is the first reason. We want to be inspired by our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can find the energy, the ongoing energy, to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that I find very interesting when looking at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it's the only ongoing knowledge that will be everlasting. Fiqh, we don't need fiqh in Jannah. Aqeedah, we don't need to know the kinds of tawheed and the characteristics of prophets in Jannah. But ihsan, knowing Allah, this is why Jannah was created. Because knowledge of Allah is endless, is limitless, it has no limits. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beauty is unlimited. So He created a world that is eternal, with people that live therein eternal lives, so that every second, and no seconds in Jannah, but at every moment in time, will be a moment in time where they get to know Allah. So the journey that you start when you learn the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an everlasting one. It's the only knowledge that you will take with you to Allah, even in your grave. First question, man rabbuk? Who is your Lord? If you are munafiq, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a hypocrite, then you will say, la adri, I do not know. سَمِعْتُ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ شَيْئًا, I heard the people say something. Why? Because it was not really in your heart. Your knowledge of Allah was weak. So your knowledge of Allah, you even take it into your grave, and even on your deathbed. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ مَاتَ وَكَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُخْلِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The one that dies and whose last words are La ilaha illallah, sincerely with his heart, will enter paradise. He didn't just say the one that says La ilaha illallah. So the stronger and the vaster your knowledge is of Allah, the stronger your shahada will be. Look at this person, this man that came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was resting, and he hung his sword on one of the branches of a tree. And the man came and he took the sword and he went like, Muhammad, who will save you now? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't experience any kind of fear. He was, who will save you now from me and my sword? The Messenger said the word, the divine name, with this yaqeen, certitude, with this yani subhanallah, pure heart and deep understanding of what it means. So he said, Allah. The way he said Allah, with the belief, the strength of this belief that came through his mouth, the man trembled, and the sword, he dropped the sword, and then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it and he said, and who will save you from me? He said, Ya Rasulallah, he said, Ya Muhammad, he said, do not kill me. I promise you that I will go back to my people and tell them that I came from the best man on earth, and I will never ever fight against you. Then Muhammad let him go. The man turned, and after a few steps, in another narration, the man came back, sat down, and said, Ya Muhammad, teach me what Islam means. And when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they saw this from far away, they came running. They came running. And they said, what's going on? They saw a man with a sword pointed at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, leave him, leave him. He has accepted Allah and his Prophet. This is the strength of just Allah. which we say in every adhan, Allahu Akbar, which we say in every prayer, Allahu Akbar, which we say in janazah, Allahu Akbar, which we say after prayer, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah. SubhanAllah, just this saying, Allahu Akbar, should inspire our hearts with awe and fear and humility. This is when we understand what we are saying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us the example of what it means to be lost in the understanding of Allahu Akbar. When he said Allahu Akbar, one of the supplications he used to say was Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib, like in al-Bukhari. He said, oh Allah, remove my faults from me exactly as you have removed the east from the west. Yani, the moment you say Allahu Akbar, east and west is nothing. The universe is nothing. The multiverse is nothing. Nothing. So Allahu Akbar, oh Allah, remove my, you know, my sins from me as you have removed the east from the west. You know, it's all of a sudden. So this is why Abu Talib al-Makki, rahimahullah, he said in his book, Qutul Qulub, he said, do not open your prayer with a lie. Do not open your prayer with a lie. They said, what do you mean opening your prayer with a lie? He said, by saying Allahu Akbar and thinking about others than Allah. Because the lie is not that you say Allahu Akbar, because Allah is most great, even if you don't think about it. But outwardly it's a lie, because you're saying something which you do not experience on the inside. So he said, do not open your prayer with a lie. The moment it's Allahu Akbar, Ya Rabbi, I'm there, it's finished. No time for me. Just dedication, submission. So now to come back. When we have this strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, miracles happen even for non-prophets. Like Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu anhu, who walked over the sea with his horses. They would say, oh no, I don't believe this. This is impossible, you know, gravity, this, that. So it's impossible. They should have a certain magic trick. No, they didn't. You know that when they mentioned the seerah that Khalid ibn Walid went with the horses over the water, that there was one man in his bucket. How do you sort of call this a bucket now? A cup. His cup sank, right? So everybody was walking over water. It was normal. And when he arrived, he was crying. And said, why are you crying? He says, I think Allah is angry with me. I said, why? He said, everybody, you know, passed the water, you know, the river or the ocean, whatever. He said, and they didn't lose anything, but my cup sank. He didn't look at, I went over the water with a horse, myself, I didn't sink, I didn't drown, nothing. No, this. And then he went and he stood, you know, on the beach, and he said, oh my Lord, if you are pleased with me, then please give me back my cup. And then subhanAllah, a wave brought him the cup and he was the happiest man. This is how they looked at it. They weren't astonished. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam points at the moon. Moon splits. You know, I mean, we believe, and he was a prophet, Alayhi Wasallam, but we believe that there are miracles. But the biggest miracle is not that you walk on water. Is not that you fly through the sky. The biggest miracle is that you attain the climax of your existence, that the small, tiny, little soul gets connected to the Creator of all. This is the miracle. That the connection is made. Now it's disturbed. Like when you take your antenna and you put it a little bit like this, you have an image, but it's not clear. This is what we are having. It's a bit there, it's not there, I feel it, I don't. But the moment that it's in the right direction, you know it. People say, how do I know that I have established this connection? The answer is, if you would have, you wouldn't ask. You would know it. You would know it. So the miracle is that the soul gets connected to the Creator of all. And this is why Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah azza wa jal, he mentioned also in the Muqaddimah of his Munqidh min al-Dalal and others, yani where he describes his journey, and he says when he was in the minaret, you know, across Palestine or the Quds, and he said, I experienced things in that minaret. If I were to tell you what it was, you wouldn't believe me. And I wouldn't believe myself. He said, because every time I thought that I had, you know, found the climax of connection with Allah, the next day there was more. Next day there was more. And if yesterday you would have told me that there is more, I would say, no, it's impossible. SubhanAllah. And this is what we want. We don't want to go for silver. We want to go for gold. We don't want to go for gold. We want to go for platinum. We don't want to go for that. We want to go for the highest thing which doesn't exist. You know, we look at all these sportsmen, rich and so forth. SubhanAllah, there is one thing you cannot pay. One thing. That's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's no longer about how much are you ready to give. It's about how much are you ready to lose. To give up. Because the last thing you will have to give up on is yourself. And that's what we like, love most. And this is why Imam al-Sha'rani, rahimahullah azza wa jal, he said in his book, Tanbih al-Mukhtarin, he said, it's strange to see that someone thinks that he sees a shortcoming in his brother or sister, a small one, a tiny one, and he doesn't like him anymore. It's efficient for you that somebody doesn't text you back to hate him. I text you 3 times. I called you 5 times. You didn't reply. Allah calls you 5 times every day. So he says, like, you didn't text me, whatever. So you see a small mistake in your brother or your sister and you become angry. You think you see a mistake, shortcoming. He says, but when you look into the mirror, you look at someone from whom you know everything, from the past and the present, the heart and the actions, the feelings and emotions. He says, but you continue to love him. How strange is this? When I think I see a shortcoming, I hate someone and I'm sure about mine, but I love myself. The last thing between us and Allah is our own ego. And when we are able to turn this off, there we are. There we are. And we will be so happy that we say, if this is the feeling of the people of paradise, that's sufficient. If this is what the people of paradise feel, when I'm this close, then this is sufficient. But there is more. Every time more and more and more. SubhanAllah. So this is why we want to get to know Allah. Because we want to be happy. And the happiness that we are looking for, we are looking for it, and there where we won't find it. Like if I put a polar bear in the desert, it will yearn for ice and cold. And if I put a camel on the North Pole, it will cry for desert and the heat. Why? Because it's not in the right environment. And we are continuously stopping our souls from being in the right environment. And this is why we are not as happy as we should be. When we look at everything we have, we should be the happiest people on the earth. If you look at our beds and our heating and our food, this is better than the kings 300 years ago. So we should be happy, right? We don't have a horse. We have so much horsepower in our cars. The journeys in few hours, what they had to do in a few weeks. We should be the happiest people on earth. But we are not. And the Prophet ﷺ, this is the last thing I want to say, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu looked at him, and subhanAllah, and this is Anas ibn Malik saying this, and he looked at him sleeping on the ground, and he saw the traces of the, you know, the palm leaves on his back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, do you sleep like this? Why the emperors and leaders of Rome and Persia, they sleep on beds made out of gold and blankets of silk. I said, even you, Ya Umar, are you saying this? If somebody else would say it, are you saying this? Don't you want this to be for them in this life and for us in the hereafter? So, which doesn't mean we are not allowed to have luxury, but we shouldn't long for it. Is difference clear? We shouldn't long for it. And this is why Imam Ahmed said, when someone asked, can someone possess 100,000 dinar and still be a zahid? And he's someone who abstains from the dunya? He said, nah. إِن كَانَ مَالُهُ فِي يَدِهِ لَا فِي قَلْبِهِ. If his wealth is in his hand and not in his heart. How many people in small huts dream of a palace, and how many people in a palace dream of Jannah?
It's the nature, isn't it? People are never content.
They're never content. But why are we not content? Because we haven't satisfied the hunger that we have. There is something, an emptiness within us that cannot be tamed but by connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as long as we don't have this, we will keep on looking for this something that will eventually satisfy me. But we are not, until we know Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The only reason why I've created jinn and mankind is لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah, he mentions in his tafsir that the Sahabi al-Jalil Ali radiallahu anhu said, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ. I have created jinn and mankind to know me. That the meaning of worshipping, that in Arabic it's used like that, worshipping is the result of knowledge. So he has created, and knowledge leads to knowledge. Worship leads to knowledge. Anyway, Allah has created us to know him. And if we know him, we will worship him. That's the result of knowledge. Is that clear? So these are some of the reasons why we want to get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing, the very last thing, is the closer you get to Allah, the harder it gets. Subhanallah. Because, you know, it's like you're in an oven, like gold that needs to be cleaned and purified, you know. And if you really want to melt away, be that gold, you know, then you need to get rid of all the filth. And that can be painful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then take away everything that he sees being an obstacle between you and him. It might be your honor. It might be your wealth, your status, your family, your children. Look at the prophets. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُمْ. When Allah loves people, he will test them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah, when Allah loves someone, and this is in the Jami' of Suyuti rahimahullah, when Allah loves someone, tests will come down upon him quicker than rain is poured down on the earth. Like this, when you sleep and you hear it on the window, well, that's nothing compared to you if Allah loves you. And if you love the Messenger of Allah, then that what you're hearing on your windows, that is your tests all the time. And we complain about these tests, why they are a proof that Allah loves us. Why did this happen? Why me? Always me. It's always something. Look at it not with your aql, but with your iman. And then you will understand that afflictions, may Allah protect us, are a doorway to the Divine Presence. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that what has been said beneficial. We have had an hour approximately. So starting from next week, inshallah, an hour and 20 minutes, bi-ithnillah. But then also, there will be time for questions and so much more, inshallah. Okay? So what did you get out of the class for yourselves? So what did it inspire you with? What do you feel? What do you, and so forth? Yes? No. Very good. Being present in everything you read, in every dhikr you do, and so forth. Very good. What else? No. The importance of the name of Allah, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else?
Be mindful.
Be mindful. Okay. What else?
Knowledge is essential to understand anything.
Yes, very nice. Knowledge is essential for understanding anything. So, everything, yes. Something else?
Well, I mean, it's far away from the reality.
So, we're a million years far away from reality. SubhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar. Yes. SubhanAllah. What else? Yes, very good. Connection, everything we say and so forth. Try to share this with people. I don't mean the recording, your knowledge, what you have learned. We're not asking you to sit in a mosque and teach everybody. But share what you have learned, the importance of the names. Make a summarized version for yourself. Put it on whatever social media you have. And you don't have to attribute anything to me. I mean, it's the important thing is that it gets out there. That you remind people around you, in your environment, parents, children, neighbors, sisters, brothers, friends, any, what it's all about and what really matters. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this beneficial and to accept this from us, inshallah, and to grant us a long life so that we can go over all of His names and put them into practice. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.